Well, the Aussie dollar surged above 76 cents today, and the Reserve Bank's Glenn Stevens will be watching its rise very carefully. It may be that the RBA may have to use a little of its diminished interest rate firepower if it goes too much higher. All predictions were that we would be at a rate closer to 65 cents by now. So what has changed? I asked economist Saul Eslake whether the comments yesterday by US Federal Reserve Chairman Janet Yellen was the sole reason for the recent bounce in the dollar.
It's the most important reason. Over the last 15 or more years, the single most important influence on movements in the value of the Australian dollar against the US dollar has been movements in the US dollar itself against a range of other major currencies, of which the Australian dollar is but one. And over the course of this calendar year, we've seen the US dollar give up some of the gains it had made over the previous 2 years because markets have become convinced that the Federal Reserve, the US Central Bank, isn't going to raise interest rates much, if at all, following up the first increase that they put through just before Christmas last year. And what that in turn has meant is markets have downgraded the prospects of further increases in US interest rates, is that the US dollar has fallen against all currencies, including the Australian dollar, and the interest rate differential between Australia's rates sitting at 2 and US rates sitting at a quarter of a percentage point and increasingly expected to remain there rather than rise, has attracted more capital into Australia, putting upward pressure on our currency. There's also been some unexpected strength in a range of commodity prices, particularly iron ore, that went from less than $40 a tonne at Christmas time to almost $58 a tonne a couple of weeks ago, that was also seen as contributing to the Australian dollar's recovery. Although in recent days, commodity prices have fallen some, while the Australian dollar hasn't, in fact, has gone in the other direction, which just underscores that what's really been driving the strength in the Australian dollar versus the US dollar has been weakness in the US dollar and diminishing expectations of further increases in US interest rates.
But it's still shown some strength against other currencies as well, like the euro and the yen, hasn't it?
Well, certainly against the Japanese yen and the euro, which are countries whose central banks have been consciously seeking, and not all that successfully in the last few weeks, to drive their currencies lower. So against some of those, yes, the Australian dollar has also been a bit stronger than the central bank here would have liked.
Well, they certainly wouldn't be too happy with the appreciation of the dollar over the 75 cent US mark, because, well, most pundits have been saying last year that it would be down to like the mid-60s by now. Doesn't seem to be happening, does it?
That's right. The Australian dollar has had a couple of flirtations with the high 60s over the last 9 months or so, but those downward moves haven't been sustained, and now the Australian dollar's back up over 75 US cents, which would probably be starting to make the Reserve Bank feel a little uncomfortable, and is certainly fueling expectations in the financial markets that the Reserve Bank will cut the cash rate again. Everything that the Reserve Bank has said over the last 6 or 7 months indicates that it has no great enthusiasm for cutting rates any further. It doesn't believe that the domestic economy needs further monetary stimulus in order to keep the unemployment rate on the downward trajectory that's emerged since about October last year. It worries that if it cut rates again, it might fuel another unwelcome burst of rising property prices. And it probably wants to save what ammunition it still has for the possibility that there could be another hard landing in China or a more marked deterioration in the global economy when the 2 percentage points that we have might actually be really necessary. So I don't think that the Reserve Bank will be moved to cut rates because the currency is now around or just above 75 US cents. If it got up to 80 US cents, then that might be a different story, but we're still quite some way away from being at that point.
And it still could settle down a bit, couldn't it, towards the end of the year?
It could. And in my view, and it is only my view, markets are now understating the extent of the rise in US inflation and where the US labour market is, and they're pricing even less by way of increases in interest rates than Janet Yellen, the chair of the Federal Reserve was suggesting there might be in her speech of earlier this week. And if market sentiment in the US comes back to what I'd describe as a more realistic assessment of the likely trajectory of Federal Reserve policy, then I'd expect the US dollar to recoup some of its recent losses and the Australian dollar to reverse course heading back towards 70 cents. It's hard to say the precise timing over which that might occur, and it could, of course, become increasingly complicated by US politics. But if it increasingly looks as though, not that Donald Trump will be the Republican candidate, which I guess is an odds-on possibility now, but that if opinion polls subsequently suggested there was a chance of him becoming President of the United States, then I think that would probably lead to a weakening in the US dollar and a further strengthening of the Australian dollar, which might be harder to reverse without the Reserve Bank having to take some monetary policy steps that it doesn't want to take at the moment.
But from what you were saying earlier, the US economy is showing better signs of life than perhaps the markets are giving it credit for.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Well, just looking at our second largest trading partner, Japan, they've actually got negative interest rates. And I'm not sure exactly how that works in practice. Does that mean that when you take a mortgage out in Japan, they actually pay you to do that? Or how does it work when you're minors?
Would that you would be so lucky as a Japanese home buyer. No, what it actually means is that when commercial banks hold funds on deposit with the central bank, the Bank of Japan, or the European Central Bank in the Eurozone, they in effect pay the central bank for the privilege of keeping some of their funds on deposit with the central bank. Now, the intention of the Bank of Japan and the European Central Bank in setting up that arrangement is that banks won't hold their funds on deposit with the central bank, but will instead lend them out. And they're not really doing that because the demand for loans in both of those countries is still relatively weak. But negative interest rates amount to a tax on banks to the extent that they can't pass it on to their deposit customers, which in most cases they're not doing. And as a result, in both Japan and Europe, bank share prices have been smashed since the central banks instituted negative interest rate regimes. Moreover, another objective which those central banks have had in installing negative interest rates has been to accelerate the depreciation of their currencies as a way of gaining some competitive advantage over other countries. Well, that hasn't worked so well either. Since the Bank of Japan instituted negative interest rates at the end of January, the yen has actually strengthened from over 120 to the US dollar to about 112, and the euro has stopped falling against the US dollar since the European Central Bank instituted negative interest rates in the fourth quarter of last year. So from a number of different perspectives, negative interest rates have not been such a good idea, and I'd be surprised if we see much further movement in that direction from those central banks who are already there.
Saul Eslake there, ending that report. I'm Roderick Chambers, and you're listening to On the Money.